healthy prospecting for a financial advisor is continually sourcing names.
Prospecting is the price that you have to pay in advance to have a thriving practice with a really big book of business.
Realize that long-run success can only come from putting yourself up from short-term failures.
Hi, this is the Insights Panel podcast from Brighthouse Financial, a podcast for financial professionals about retirement planning. We bring you insights from leading experts to help you stay ahead of the curve and have more productive conversations with your clients. My name is Amy He, and in this episode, the Insights Panel is continuing our discussion on prospecting. Last time, we touched on how prospects choose their advisors, and now we'll get into why prospecting can be hard for advisors and ways they can make it easier and more effective. Joining us to talk about why advisors don't prospect and how you can build a healthy prospecting routine are Matt Oxley, advisor champion and CEO of the Oxley Institute, and Jeb Blunt, prospecting expert and author of Fanatical Prospecting. But first, I spoke to Dan Goldstein, behavioral economist and principal researcher at Microsoft Research, and I asked him, why do some advisors get out of the habit of prospecting?
So what's interesting about prospecting is it's psychologically aversive. Prospecting is all about losing. It's a low probability of success event by definition. So to understand prospecting, you need to understand the psychology of dealing with losses. In behavioral economics, there's a saying that losses loom larger than gains. So it feels worse to lose an amount of money than making the equivalent amount of money feels good.
How do you think advisors can overcome that negative reaction to losses then?
Here, I think it's easy. Just think, you know, if you're a financial advisor, just think what you would say to somebody you're advising. You would tell them, don't worry about the day-to-day ups and downs of the markets. Worry about the long-run outcome. Right? You advise your clients to put on a classically rational perspective. You advise them to step back, not to dwell on the failures, and realize that long-run success can only come from putting yourself up from short-term failures and short-term successes. So because failure is the norm with prospecting, you can't get away from failure, right? If you stop prospecting, you certainly can't win.
What effect do wins, so to speak, have on advisors?
I think when you're starting out, wins are great. They encourage you to try more. They say that in psychology, intermittent rewards are addicting, right? So when you're playing a game and you're just losing constantly, it's demotivating. When you're winning constantly, it gets a little bit dull. But when you have these intermittent mixes of wins and losses, that's when you keep trying at things. So if you haven't been prospecting for a while, the string of losses can be demotivating and wins are great. I think after you make prospecting part of your daily habit, they kind of matter less because you become like these expert investors and you realize that the wins and the losses are nothing to get emotional about. They're just necessary events on the road to generating new business.
What would you say to someone who hasn't prospected in a while?
I would say if you haven't been prospecting for a while, let's say you've just been, you know, working on referrals from existing clients, then you can break out of that habit and losses are going to start to feel painful again. But once you get back into it and you experience losses for a few weeks, a few months, and you realize that they're a necessary thing that you're going to come across on the road to gains, you can get used to them.
That was Dan on the psychology of prospecting. Next, I wanted to know what healthy prospecting looks like. And for that, I talked to Matt Oxley.
You really want to have, we call it your rainmaker antenna, fully activated at all times. In other words, you're on the lookout for opportunities. That said, you know, healthy prospecting for a financial advisor is continually sourcing names, continually looking for people, connections in their clients' spheres of influence, continually interacting with the referral alliance partners, the CPAs, you know, the attorneys. It's all about relationship management that's connected to relationship marketing. You need to get out there in, we call it the affluent playing field, but get out of your office, get out in. Be where the affluent are, whether there's a fundraiser, whether there's a social event, whether you're volunteering you know, and some sort of a charity, but get out. By the way, that is the most effective way to get personally introduced. When you're out there in their environment, in their social world, you're making it easier for them to help you.
Do you think most advisors are prospecting enough?
Absolutely not. Because it's so personal, a lot of advisors, it's out of their comfort zone to even ask an affluent client for an introduction to somebody in their spheres of influence. It's so far out of their comfort zone, they don't do it. They need to avoid staying inside their comfort zones. We're adamant about this. You know, there's many an advisor we've had on their to-do list every week. They need to go out of their comfort zone one time per day. And time and again, going out of their comfort zone has something to do with prospecting.
How often do you think advisors need to be prospecting?
Prospecting is a mindset. So that mindset doesn't turn on or turn off. It stays on. If you want to make sure you're emotionally connected with your clients, so why don't you have one non-business, one sort of social lunch with a top client a week? All of that, what I just described there, is structure. And if you're not serious about prospecting, or you haven't been really educated to the nuances of word-of-mouth influence regarding the affluent, then you kind of just wing it. And when you wing it, you're not very good at it.
Based on your experience, what kind of impact does constant prospecting have on an advisor's business?
We know if an advisor sources 3 to 4 names a week and then circles back in a 2-week window from when they source the name and gets personally introduced, they're bringing on, in as far as new relationships, 20 new relationships a year and $21 million of new assets from those relationships. We look at that as the core of affluent sales and marketing.
That was Matt on putting structure into your prospecting. Finally, I spoke to Jeb Blunt to find out what advisors need to get into a healthy prospecting routine.
You have to be prospecting all the time. And, you know, that's why we call it fanatical prospecting. It is always on prospecting. It is every day, every day, every day, every day. You want to be turning over every rock, every stone, every opportunity. It's always on, because prospecting is the price that you have to pay in advance to have a thriving practice, to be an advisor with a really big book of business. So first of all, set your goals. Figure out what's important to you. What do you want? What do you want your business to be? Where do you want it to grow to? What type of a practice do you want? Understand all of those things first. Understand your personal goals. And then dial that back into the prospecting activity that you have to do in order to achieve those goals.
So how do you think advisors can structure their day to maximize their effectiveness?
First thing is schedule a time. The most important thing you can do as an advisor is block the time. Time blocking for financial advisors is transformational. And that means that you block the time on your calendar as an appointment for you for prospecting, number one. Number two, get into the habit of getting your list ready in advance of your prospecting block. So research is not prospecting. And what a lot of advisors do is I'm watching them go through a prospecting block and they spend 5 or 10 minutes researching a prospect before they call. Do all your research in what we call the platinum hours. And that's the time before and after the golden hours. The golden hours are the time when you, during your day, when you can actually engage with prospects. Number three, work on what your messaging is for that particular target. So understanding what my objective is. Am I setting an appointment? Am I gathering information? Am I moving directly into a sales conversation or a conversation on the telephone? Or am I just creating familiarity? What is the reason why I'm calling? So that as I'm dialing that list, I know exactly why I'm there. And then finally, organize your list so that the prospects at the top of the list, they have the highest probability of setting an appointment with you, and the prospects at the bottom of your list, you have the least of information about, so you're probably more in an information gathering role with those folks. That way, on your call block, when you're dialing and you're reaching out to call people, you have a higher probability of success early on.
And are there things that advisors should avoid doing?
Number one is when you're prospecting is avoid selling, so avoid pitching. So the primary purpose of a prospecting call should be to get you face-to-face with a prospect, having an appointment, to sit down and have a conversation with them. Most advisors that I meet are really, really good in person. They're great at asking questions. They're compelling when they're sitting in front of the client.
Why do you think cold calling can be hard for advisors?
the tendency, though, is that we get on the phone and we get nervous. We're afraid we're being too pushy, or we feel like we're getting hurried up, and we have a tendency to what I call show up and throw up. Right, we just dump everything we possibly can on the prospect on the telephone, which pushes them away. You want to make sure that really you should be in 15 seconds on the phone. You should go from hello to asking for the appointment. If you're going to interrupt someone's day, make it fast, you know, and make it relevant. One of my CEO friends calls it the three B's: be brief, be bright, be gone. So you want to do it fast. You want to make sure your message is on the money, and you want to get off the telephone and move on to the next call. All you're doing is prospecting, making as many prospecting touches as you possibly can in the shortest amount of time with the greatest possible outcome.
And that was Jeb on the power of getting face-to-face with prospects. Thanks to Jeb, Dan, and Matt for their expertise and insight. And join us for the next episode of the Insights Panel podcast when we discuss why and how advisors should create an effective prospecting strategy. You can find more episodes of the Insights Panel podcast on brighthousefinancialpro.com/insightspanel or subscribe for free through any podcast app to receive new episodes direct to your mobile device. Stay ahead of the curve with the Insights Panel from Brighthouse Financial. This information is brought to you courtesy of Brighthouse Financial, Inc., that provides, through its affiliates, annuities and life insurance products issued by Brighthouse Life Insurance Company, Charlotte, North Carolina 28277, and in New York only by Brighthouse Life Insurance Company of New York, New York, New York 10017. The opinions expressed are those of the speakers, and the information presented is for educational purposes only. Speakers were compensated for their participation.